Today on Locked On Red Wings, we're going to give you our predictions on who's going to wear the A for the Detroit Red Wings this upcoming season. And also, should they trade for Matthew Tkachuk?
You're Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. We are your hosts, Brian Fisher and Scotty Bentley. I am a podcast producer for WWJ News Radio 950, and Scotty is a freelance journalist for the Detroit News, as well as a host for Locked On Tigers. Off to a riveting start already, right off the bat. Today, Scotty, I think it's pertinent with, you know, talking yesterday about lineup projections and, you know, with all the signings that has happened. The Red Wings did lose two of their alternate captains this past season. Assistant captain, alternate captain. People never can agree on what it's called. But both the players that were the A's for the Detroit Red Wings this past season are no longer with the team. So I think we should lead off the episode starting with that. But before we get to that, also, we're going to be talking about a possible trade scenario in the second half of the show. So sometime in segment two, we'll probably get to that. But like I said, Scotty, right back to it here, talking about who is going to wear the A's with the Detroit Red Wings. Do you have anyone off the top of your head who stands out as a favorite to wear the A's for the Detroit Red Wings?
I don't know if I have like a huge player that really jumps out as like, I can guarantee with 100% certainty this person will wear it. But there's definitely, I think it's a fascinating conversation because I think you go a lot of different directions, right? I think, honestly, I think as much as people are going to hate me saying it,
Ben
Sherrod is absolutely a candidate to wear the A.
I am in a 100% agreeance with you. You know, Ben Sherrod did wear an A at some points with the Montreal Canadiens. And, you know, we talked about it yesterday. You brought this guy in to be a top pairing defenseman to play 25 minutes a night. I'm a staunch believer that you need a voice in the locker room on the defensive side of things to wear a letter, you know, whenever possible. And there are times with certain teams they don't do that and times when they do. Detroit Red Wings last year had both of their A's, Mark Stahl and Danny DeKeyser, wear A's. And I think that also proves a follow-up point to the Ben Sherratt thing, that it doesn't always have to, and nor should it be, the best player on the ice at all times wearing a letter for the Detroit Red Wings or any NHL organization, because it comes down to leadership. And yes, I believe, Scotty, that a leader needs to be able to lead on the ice as well with his play. But, you know, this is your reasons why, you know, for instance, classical reason, Mike Modano did not last as captain of the Dallas Stars because he wasn't a locker room leader in that locker room. You know, that team had unrest, and so they stripped him of the C. The Vancouver Canucks toyed with Roberto Luongo as captain as well, and that proves the other side is that you need somebody who can play on the ice as well. And Ben Sherratt, as much grief as I give that contract, is the best of both worlds. He's in his prime. He's had leadership experience in the past. He can play 25 minutes a night, and he'll be a top pair defenseman. So he's the voice in the locker room, and he can play.
Yeah, and you know, just like the style that he's going to be asked to play on the ice too is very leadership-esque. You know what I mean? Like just being a kind of a big body that can protect somewhat our younger players. I think that's why I wanted to start the show with it, because like I think we might as well get the one that a lot of people might have a problem with right out of the way, because I honestly think that it's like there's a pretty solid chance. Like I said, I don't think there's anybody that I look at and is like I can guarantee this person will wear an A, but I think there's a pretty decent chance that Ben Sherratt is one of the A's.
I mean, the biggest thing about Ben Sherratt is he is a guy who's going to stand up for his teammates, and I think that's a pretty hefty leadership quality to have. And again, he's worn an A in the past. And the Red Wings have signed two other guys who have worn letters in the past this offseason. Doesn't mean that they're going to this season. But, you know, I think I completely agree that this is a guy who kind of stands out. And I think that Ben Chiarot, by my best guess, would probably wear an A. Doesn't mean he will. I've been wrong before. We just last week did a who do you think the Red Wings are going to sign? And we were wrong on every single player. So by no means take our word for law, but this is just best guesstimation. Ben Chiarot seems to fit that bill pretty well. But I think the follow-up question to Ben Chiarot is the guy who plays opposite to him on the blue line, or more likely will play opposite to him on the blue line, and Moritz Seider. You know, Moritz Seider is very quickly becoming one of the best players on the Detroit Red Wings roster, like without a doubt, a very complete player on the back end, capable of playing 25 player minutes a night at, what, 21 years old is he now? Just won the Calder. There's going to be a lot of people asking, can Moritz Seider wear an A? Where do you stand on that?
I mean, like, I'd love it. And we, you know, only the people that are in that locker room truly know the answer to that question, I think. And I also think when it's all said and done, at some point throughout his career, he probably will. If I was a betting man, you know, and like if Bet Online was to like do something about like odds of Red Wings players wearing the A, I don't think he would be super high on there. Like he'd definitely be like pretty, you know, hefty plus money. But I do think that it's an over zero chance. Like I don't think it's impossible. And obviously he's already one of the best players in the entire organization at, you know, such a young age. And it's, you know, like you said, defense, he checks that box. You can have somebody on the defensive core that wears an A. I don't think they'd give it to both Chiarot and Seider. That would just be like crazy if like the whole first line defensively was just like the assistant captain line. But I don't think we'd see anything like that. And like I don't think the odds are super high. But if it did happen, I would be very pleasantly surprised, is how I'll put it.
Yeah. So with the Moritz Seider thing, this is not, nothing is like, this is definitely not slander against Moritz Seider, especially because he is an absolute phenomenal locker room personality, but I wouldn't classify him. And I know we're going to get flack for just by saying this, but I don't classify him at this point in his career as, you know, a locker room leader. He's a very upbeat, jovial, innocent type presence. Joe Valeno, you know, in his Calder, when he congratulated Moritz Seider for winning the Calders, like, keep being you. Like, he brings a side to the locker room that they need to keep an eye on things, as like, be upbeat, you're playing a game you love. But I don't see him as being like a serious enough person yet. And I don't know him personally, so I could be wrong, but I don't see him as having that like leadership captain quality. But what he brings to the locker room is still very much important, keeping the view on the bigger picture of, guys, you're playing the sport you love. I think that is incredibly important, and that Moritz Seider brings that. And I love everything about Moritz Seider's personality. So absolutely not Moritz Seider slander. But when I look at guys who need to wear a letter, I look at someone as Ben Chiarot, or even maybe Andrew Kopp, as someone who can wear an A. Now, I don't necessarily know for sure. When you get to the forwards, there's a lot of very, very good candidates in that forward core. Andrew Kopp has never worn an A before, Scotty. David Perron has in the inaugural season with the Vegas Golden Knights. And then, of course, you have people talking about Tyler Bertuzzi possibly wearing an A because he's a veteran, homegrown. And by homegrown, I mean, you know, within the organization, he was drafted by the Red Wings and, you know, put up 30 goals last year. So there's a lot of guys on that forward core that scream could wear an A.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to get to some of those options after this. But first, I got to talk to you guys today about BetOnline. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check on all your favorite betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. I don't know why they put "and even golf." Golf is huge. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information. From live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts, they have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Segment 2, Lockdown Red Wings podcast. Scotty.
Brian.
Forwards with A's. What are you thinking?
Yeah, so I think that the Burr one is fascinating because this is a conversation that Nolan and I had last year as well. Like right after free agency, we were like, hey, who the heck is going to wear the A? And we brought up Burt's name then. There was obviously the no playing in Canada thing happened. And then we were like, okay, like maybe that doesn't make as much sense because he's not going to play in whatever sixth of the games or whatever. But it's a fascinating conversation. And I do think that Burt will be in the running for it. It's a dude who, like you said, homegrown, has been through and around the organization for a long time. Especially if they end up like locking down an extension before the season starts, it would not shock me at all if Burt was an A.
It wouldn't shock me either. And I just, the one thing that just trips me up again is it's a similar argument I would make with Moritz Seider about the whole personality thing. And it's not that he doesn't seem, and again, this is just speculation on an outsider. I am not in that locker room. I don't know what he's like inside the locker room, but based on the type of, you know, what we see from him outside the locker room, he definitely comes across as more of a upbeat personality to keep things fun and lighthearted, but not so much, you know, focused and okay, guys, it's time to like really, really buckle down and get serious. He doesn't seem like a serious person. I don't mean that as an insult. I mean that as a compliment because you definitely need those in the locker room, but I don't see that as a, you know, necessarily like a leadership quality. So, and then this is me nitpicking because he would, and same with Moritz Seider, I think they could be very good A's. But what I'm looking for out of my A's is someone like a Ben Chiarot or a David Perron who's been around the league. He's been around the league and he's seen success in the league. And so like veteran presence is just in my eyes. I guess that's really what it comes down to. And I guess Tyler Bertuzzi at this point is a veteran. But, you know, I find myself leaning towards veterans like Ben Chiarot and David Perron as like my leading candidates for the A's just because they have that experience around the league playing for teams who have made deep playoff runs and have worn A's in the past. And so like when I came into this conversation today, I just look at a guy like David Perron and I go, that screams A caliber player to me. And that's just, again, this whole conversation for me is based on nothing but hunches and gut checks. And that's how I feel with David Perron too.
Yeah. Perron is a fascinating one. Cause that was a 2-year deal. Yeah. So when you're looking at that, like you can, it's just a conversation of, okay, do we want to, and 2 years isn't a short amount of time and he'll be here for 2 seasons and that's awesome.
Give Danny DeKeyser and Mark Stahl an A for 1 year. So
right. Exactly. But now that you're locking up so much more talent long-term, like, you know, for rebuilds, pretty much everybody's on a year-to-year basis outside of, for us, it was outside of Burton Larkin. Like everybody was like, oh, we don't know if they're even going to be here in 12 months. Like, so now that we finally have talent that's going to be here for the long haul, we're signing veterans to longer deals. We have young talent that's coming up that we plan on keeping for a long, long time. Now that we're starting to fill in depth with pieces that aren't just like fillers that are temporary, it makes me have like an internal debate of like how much do the Red Wings care? And maybe this answer is not at all, but how much do the Red Wings care when they're handing out A's of like we're going to extend Burt for 5 years and he's going to wear an A for half a decade. Like, you know what I mean? Like that. And cause he's already been here for half a decade. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's something that he can provide that somebody who's already in their 30s and going to be here for 2 more years obviously can't.
Yeah.
But you know, optically like that's obviously a great choice and he's been in leadership roles before. And if they don't care about like the long-term thing, which I'm not saying they do, they might not. This is a super just like hypotheticals all around conversation. So if they don't care about that, then yeah, Perron, I think, is a fantastic choice. I mean, he's, you know, a guy who's done it before, obviously. And he's going to be a figure on a staple on special teams, which is another thing that they've struggled a lot with. And that's certainly something that you'd like a guy who's more of a leader out there for as well. Like, I think it's a perfect fit. The only thing that I just go back and forth in my head on is, you know, are they kind of tired of handing out A's to dudes who are only going to be here for a year or two? And do they want to start actually handing out A's to dudes who are like going to be here for the long haul, like Larkin is with the C?
I mean, that is a fantastic point, because there is a lot of truth to that. There is something to be said about the permanence of the letters that these players are wearing. And like you said, these last few years, it's been a cycle. It's been like a washer machine. You open it up and now there's a new letter. So you look at guys previous to that, before the rebuild really began, and you got guys like Datsyuk and Zetterberg and Lidstrom and Cronwall. Like, they were being bred to be the next captain when the current captain retired, and they wore A's for a long time. So there is a lot to be said about if they end up locking Tyler Bertuzzi down long term. Like, it would make sense to give him an A, because you want that permanence, you want that stability in your lineup, that you know the guy who's wearing an A is going to be here the next year, that locker room leadership isn't going to change. And that's why I think that Andrew Kopp is a little bit of a, I don't know if I would call him an underdog. He's never worn an A before, and I don't know what his personality is all too much. But I know what his on-ice capabilities are, and he does a little bit of everything, and he does it at a very high level. So I know on the ice, it's there to be an A, in my opinion. I just don't know what his leadership is like in the locker room, but he's here for 5 years. They signed him to a five-year deal, and you're paying him $5.625. Like, that screams right there, you know, leadership qualities. I'm just wondering, you know, we don't know his personality all too well at this point. Sure. So I think the permanence is a huge thing. I think that is a great point. And that's why I think Ben Sherratt is a favorite to get an A, because he's here for four years.
Right. That's why I think that he's a decently heavy favorite, because again, you're talking like he checks both sides, right? Like, if you want the veteran presence of like a dude, like you get that within him, but you also get somebody who's going to be here for the next 4 years on top of that. So I think that he can provide the veteran leadership, like experience thing that you've had before, while also not being like, oh, you know, he's gone in the next 1 to 2 seasons. Like, it's a best of both worlds thing. So I really do think if I had to guess one, and it was, you know, you have to be right about it, my guess would be Ben Sherratt. But at the same time, again, like I don't think there's an overwhelming guarantee on this roster for any of them either.
Well, and that's the biggest thing too, is there's no guarantee. And like you stated a couple minutes ago, this is in the end a huge hypothetical, because we're not in the locker room. We don't know these guys. And on a lot of these NHL teams, these letters are voted on by the players who know these guys.
For sure.
So these are a lot of gut checks by us. And I can't hammer that home enough that, you know, this is just speculation on our part. Do you have any underdogs, though, to finish off the conversation on who's going to wear the A's? I think an underdog for me would probably be Mark Pisick. And the sole reason I say he's an underdog is because he wore an A with the Buffalo Sabres. And that's worth something. Another veteran who has leadership experience.
Yeah, someone who's worn an A before, for sure. I think mine, honestly, probably would be, like, I don't know, it's kind of boring because we already talked about it now, but like I think my underdog would be Moritz Seider, and just because you know, locker room personality, like we don't know what goes on behind those doors, and he's obviously a great personality and everybody loves him, but you know, like, I mean, there was a point last year where he stood in front of a camera and said everybody in that locker room is on the same page and we all want to make the postseason, like that. You know, that was in the middle of the year. Like that, there's like he's still a heck of a competitor too, and again he provides a stability that honestly no one else in that we've even discussed can offer. That if you want to go for the most like guaranteed going to be here for a long time, Moritz Seider comfortably laps honestly everybody else that even in remote consideration.
Well, and that's where it comes down to it too, and maybe this is where so my David Perron being wearing an A pick, this is maybe where that comes into play, because you get a guy like David Perron who's going to be here for 2 years, and you wouldn't expect him to be here much past that if he even plays the full 2 seasons out without getting dealt. Moritz Seider could at that point then fill in the shoes. And because by no means, like, Moritz Seider is incredibly mentally mature, and I was not trying to imply that he isn't. He's incredibly mentally mature. He's just very, what's the word I'm trying to use here? Like, he's so upbeat and fun that I don't know how serious he is at the same time. That's where I'm trying to get at. So maybe a couple years down the line, then he'd be the perfect candidate to wear an A for a long time for the Detroit Red Wings. I just don't know at 21 years old if he's there yet, but he is mature beyond his years, despite his jokey nature. And we see that every time, like you said, he talks to the media. So I think he is an underdog candidate, but I just, with the other candidates on the team right now, I don't know if he'd be a favorite.
I certainly don't think he's a favorite.
Segment three, when we get there, and just on the other side of this quick ad break, unless you're using YouTube Premium, in that case, we just kind of awkwardly pause. We're going to talk about Matthew Tkachuk, because there's rumors he may be getting dealt out of Calgary, and we're going to talk about what it would take to bring him here and why the Red Wings would want him. Segment three, Lockdown Red Wings podcast. Scotty, we're going to talk now about Matthew Tkachuk. We talked a couple months ago about Johnny Gaudreau because he was going to be a UFA. And we didn't know if he was going to be a UFA at the time, but he ended up being a UFA, ended up signing surprisingly with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now we're going to talk about the Calgary Flames' other superstar in Matthew Tkachuk. They gave him a qualifying offer, and he's going to elect not to sign it, obviously, because he deserves way more than that. So there's one of two things that this means. One, it could mean that they're going to salary arbitration, just to lock him up long term. Two, it could mean that they're trying to trade him. Now, Mark Scheig, who is a writer covering the Columbus Blue Jackets for the Cleveland Monsters and Erie Otters, tweeted out today, Eric Francis today on 101 ESPN in St. Louis said that he expects a possible Matthew Tkachuk trade to be wrapped up within the week. He said it was clear to him the two are parting ways. So you're getting a credentialed beat writer reporting on a credentialed beat writer reporting that Matthew Tkachuk's going to be traded. So take that with what you will, grain of salt. But Matthew Tkachuk is a guy who can play left wing and right wing. They have him listed online as a natural left wing, but he can play right wing when the time, you know, if he has to. The Red Wings are flush with left wings. So you cannot even begin to have the conversation on this trade without talking about shipping left wings back in that deal, in my eyes. And I know injuries happen and immediately, you know, you could be, you know, desperate for left wing depth. But Matthew Tkachuk this past season, Scotty, was an absolute phenomenal talent. If I can...
He's a hockey player down. As
He's
well.
A hockey player. I had the wrong tab. In 82 games played, he had 42 goals, 62 assists, and 102 points. 104 points, rather. Don't know how to read. And 68 penalty minutes. He is an absolute force for the Calgary Flames, and having lost Johnny Gaudreau might be the signal that he wants out. And honestly, if I'm Steve Yzerman, I don't care how many left wings or right wings you have. With a guy like this, who's still going to be an RFA, who's still an RFA right now at 24 years old, and is already, Scotty, a 98th percentile player at goals above replacement, a 98th percentile overall, 98th percentile offense, and 96th percentile defense. He does it on both sides of the puck. You have got to kick the tires on this trade with the Calgary Flames to see what the asking price even is. The question becomes, we saw how little Alex DeBrincat can. Can you fleece the Calgary Flames for a Matthew Tkachuk?
No. No, you cannot. I mean, this is... This is a whole different ball game, to be honest. I mean, this is one of the best players in hockey that, like you said, is also literally not even unrestricted. Like he's a restricted free agent, and he's one of the best players in the sport already. You are not only giving up, if you're Calgary, you're not only giving up an incredible talent, you are giving up like years of control on an unbelievable talent because of the restricted free agent nature of the contract. So you're not going to be able to just like lowball them and get what you want. This is going to take a hefty price. And look, like we've been talking a lot about how this free agency brought in a lot of depth that we didn't have. And I guess in a perfect world, you bring in depth and then you're able to, you know, oh, we're deeper than we've been. So now we can trade, you know, pieces away to acquire top end talent because we brought in all this other talent and we're deeper now, so we can afford to lose some players. But I don't see logistically how this happens.
Asking price. What would it take? It's hefty, 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 but let's put a price ridiculous. Tag on it.
I mean, a starting point would be a couple of high picks. And again, like, you're taking a step forward in the right direction now, right? Like, you've already taken a step forward in the right direction. And the presumption would be now, after bringing him on, like, now your picks have less value because you are better. Like, that's how it works. Your first round pick is not as valuable anymore as a rebuilding team's first round pick. So you just, there's nothing you can do about it. It's literally unavoidable. If your team gets better, your picks lose value. So you it's going to start with multiple high-end picks that would presumably lose value in the eyes of Calgary, because you're getting better and going to be a better team. And then I would say some of the best prospects you have on top of that, at least one of the really high-end prospects that you have. I'm not sure. It's such a difficult conversation to even have with yourself, because it's like,
are you willing to mortgage the future on now is really what you're asking yourself.
Well, I mean, like, and he's 24, so like,
he's,
you know,
he can be a part of the core,
right? Yeah, he would be part of the future for sure. But like, this team's prospects, a lot of their high end prospects are defense, and you need still a pretty significant amount of help long term on the defensive side of the puck at the NHL level. And so basically you're saying, would you be willing to give up picks and your high end defensive prospect talent for a 24-year-old, you know, superstar?
Honestly, Scotty, if the trade was doable, I mean, it depends on the cost, but I'd go for it. Matthew,
so you're saying if I told you the price was picks and Edvinson, and that was like starting point,
it would be tough. I don't know if they would even want. I mean, they want Edvinson, but compared to like what they're giving up, they just lost Goudreau and they just lost Matthew Tkachuk. I would imagine they would want some potent offense back in the trade.
No, yeah, I starting point. I think.
Yeah,
I literally think that's going to be a. It's going to be a big return.
Because this is a guy who can, you know, we talk about, we know this offseason was spent making this team better, making this team more competitive. So that only furthers the point that you can trade for a big name player like Matthew Tkachuk and bring him in. Now you take not a step forward, but a leap forward in the rebuild. And this team's window is so much closer, you know. But then the problem is by making this trade, the window opens earlier, but then it also closes sooner because of what you're trading away. First round pick. I've said this a couple times, but like, if you're talking about high end prospects, or I don't even know if prospects is the right term for some of these guys anymore, but like, would you be willing to trade away Marco Kasper? Would you be willing to trade away Lucas Raymond for a proven commodity in Matthew Tkachuk, who's still under team control? Yeah, honestly, I'm unsure if I'd pull the trigger, but I'd consider it.
I think Raymond's a good call. I think Raymond's a better call than Edvinson. I think that's a good, because young winger. Well, I don't know. Maybe not. Well, because like, you know, like winger is winger. Like you can you're gonna find wingers with talent, I guess, down the road.
But Tkachuk's a winger, so I mean, you're trading. You know.
Yeah, but like, you're clearly have no intention of winning this season, so I'm not sure that like really matters to, like, filling that hole really matters to them this year.
So, Calgary Flames or the Detroit Red Wings have no intention of winning, because I feel
the
like
Flames, they trade Tkachuk after losing Goodrow. They have zero intention.
Yeah, but like, Lucas
they're not
Raymond
be
is young
like,
enough.
Oh, we have to replace him with a young winger because we're like trying to fill out a roster. Like,
yeah, but Lucas Raymond can be part of your core.
Whatever.
He's part of our core, and I'm not by any means I'm advocating dealing him out. But I'm saying, and also I think a prime candidate if he were vaccinated to be dealt out in this trade would be Tyler Bertuzzi, but the main reason he's a prime candidate to be traded is because he is unvaccinated in a lot of people's eyes. So, I mean, it doesn't sync up. But if you're trying to offload wingers to make room for a winger, Tyler Bertuzzi being a rental, you can sign long term, would be a good option. Yeah, trade it away, but you can't trade him to Canada.
Before you could trade him as part
it's just
of that.
There's a lot of really good options that like it's just who's gonna have the most value. And because I'm so emotionally attached to these players, I recognize that this is the starting point. I'm just not sure if it's worth it because we know what Matthew Tkachuk is. We don't know how good Lucas Raymond is. Lucas Raymond could absolutely turn it on next year and score 40 goals himself. And then we'd look like idiots because we just traded for a first round pick and a guy who's 3 years younger for, you know, I mean, Matthew Tkachuk's great, but I don't know if it's worth it. So I would love to have Matthew Tkachuk on this team. I would just be very afraid of the price
tag.
No
kidding.
Yeah. Let's see here. Now I'm really curious. Matthew Tkachuk's rookie season, he played 76 games. He had 48 points. He had 13 goals and 35 assists. Lucas Raymond had a better rookie season than Matthew Tkachuk. Then Matthew Tkachuk the next season had 24 goals and 25 assists for 49 points. And then he broke 30 goals finally in 2018-2019. But this past season, and it's the same case with Johnny Gaudreau, this past season is where they really became elite-level talent, both breaking the 100-point plane for the first time. So then you get to the question, was this, you know, an outlier? And Matthew Tkachuk has had 70 and 60-point seasons in his career already as well. So I don't outlier might be, he's a very good winger regardless. Elite level is the question. So it's just, these are the questions that are being asked, but I'd love to have a Matthew Tkachuk on the Red Wings. I'm just afraid of the asking price.
Yeah, I mean that for sure. Like it's a fascinating thing to talk about, but you know, like snapping back to reality, I just don't.
Oh, there goes gravity.
All right. Thanks for making Locked On Red Wings your first listen every day. But I can't believe you just said that. It's you know what's funny? I actually think I did that like 2 days ago on Locked On Tigers.
You did. I actually listened to that episode.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's certainly a fascinating conversation, but in reality, I'm not sure the Red Wings are. We've heard a lot about sustained success. The Red Wings want to build a sustained winner. They want to build a system where you're consistently getting good talent and all that. And I'm not sure trading a lot of young talent or future assets, whether that's picks or players, really falls in line with the sustained success thing. Maybe if we were closer to contention, this would be more of a conversation. Like maybe if we were like, oh, we just need like one more player to get us over the edge to a cup. But like this team is still going to, you know, scratch and claw to even get into the postseason this year.
Yeah. So. Absolutely. So, I mean, I think in the end, the answer to the question is no, but would be awesome if it happened. Thanks for making Locked On Red Wings your first listen every single day. Now make your second listen Locked On NHL. Locked On experts give you daily 30-minute podcasts on all things NHL all year long. Stay up to date on everything in the hockey world. Locked On NHL, your daily 30-minute NHL podcast. Scotty and I will be back with a new episode tomorrow. We have plans for an exciting one, but I won't give it away now because some plans sometimes fall apart, but stay tuned to that. Cool. Same time, same place. Did I say any, ask you any?
Bet online.
There it is. Same time, same place. It's your team.
Every day.
Every day.